Warning, we're about to get all literary on y'all's asses. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Wang, this is Florida Man, the podcast for Tuesday, October the 1st, 2019.
Each week we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
And in this week's episode,
Florida woman has a special name for the place she hides her drugs. This time, it's not her hoo-ha.
Florida woman has over 300 Instagram accounts specifically for stalking her ex-coworkers.
Florida man wants to be a samurai, but looks more like a sumo.
And Florida man claims the president owes him $1 trillion.
Plus, a Florida man food fight, listener email and V-mail, and we attempt to interview author Mike Barron about his new book, Florida Man.
Oh, Joel.
Bill, it is, it's October.
It's October.
So we're only 1 month away from Halloween.
That is correct. That's the time I kick Tracy's ass.
I was just going to say, you got anything planned special for Halloween?
Negative. Unless she shows her ass up here in Southwest Florida, then.
We still haven't decided if Tracy is a he or a she.
It shows up. And,
you sure you want to use the word it when the clown is involved?
What else am I supposed to call her? Him.
They.
They?
Yeah.
Well, they that denotes multiples.
No. They is singular. It's acceptable to be a singular they if you are unaware.
What's a them?
They are them.
They are them. And yeah. Them is they?
Yes.
They are them. Them is they, but it is unacceptable. Okay, I got it. This is very hard work, Joel.
Our HR session is now over.
Thank you.
But we do have some news to announce.
We do?
Yes.
We fucking lost, Joel.
I know. Did you expect?
I mean, what the hell are we thinking? What are we doing competing in this?
Well, they don't rank anybody. So as far as I'm concerned, we came in second.
You promised me millions of dollars of revenue coming in. This was my retirement plan, and we fucking lost.
If your retirement plan involves being on a podcast,
I need a financial advisor. I ain't gonna lie.
You need a much better financial advisor.
That's right behind scratch off tickets.
Yep. Yeah. So. But yeah,
the politically correct statement is the honor is in being nominated in the first place, right?
Yeah. I mean, we got our name on the podcast awards website for the next year until they announce next year.
True.
So that's a good
all
thing.
True, Joel.
And, you know, they've got links to our show so people can find us. That's always worth it.
But still, it's still kind of fucking cool to be, you know, a year and a half into this and we already made a top 10 list somewhere.
Absolutely.
Who'd have thunk it?
Not me.
Oh, hell, not me.
This was just an excuse for me to come over and drink your beer.
Yeah, which you did, and now we're empty.
Yeah.
But lucky for me, we got plenty of Tito's. I'm still waiting on that sponsorship from Austin.
Yeah, well, maybe the notoriety now of being a podcast awards nominee.
A nominee would get us Tito's to sponsor this thing.
Yeah.
So if they sponsored, you think they'd send like cases of vodka? Or are we talking monetary? Because either way, I'm good.
I don't know.
I'm fine.
Maybe Tito's. Let us know. FloridaManPodcast@gmail.com. But I did want to mention. What did I want to mention? Oh, the awards were broadcasted live, but the nominees were not really at. There wasn't really an awards ceremony we could attend. Not that we would. Anyway.
Correct.
So we had to record a acceptance video beforehand to send in. So we're going to put that up now on our.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well. We are not good at video.
No, the
we have faces for radio.
Speak for yourself. But the outtakes reel is three times as long as the actual acceptance video.
Yeah, it was a tough. I did take a couple of them and send to.
I did cut out the part with the obscene gesture that
please,
you made.
Thank you
so
very much.
That will not be on
that
the
you
internet.
Turn into a meme and send it to me as for blackmail.
Yep, but yeah,
and better yet, you threatened to send it to your wife, who is looking for retribution anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll put that up on our social media. So look for that if you want to see what we actually look like and sound like. And well, you know what we sound like. But anyway, we lost.
We lost.
But thanks to everybody who voted for us. I'm going to assume we were second place.
Yeah. I just want to be 10th.
Right. Phil, do you have anything you wanted to promote this week? You said you had something coming up last time.
I did.
And do you?
I do.
You sound
I do.
Despondent about
I'm
that.
I'm not despondent. No, it is. All of you know that I love music and enjoy picking a guitar every now and then. So every Wednesday night, we are now participating at, here if you're in the Southwest Florida area, particularly Fort Myers, or Naples, Cape Coral, Lehigh. We do every Wednesday night. We do
Bonita Springs.
Bonita Springs, yeah, in Estero. Every Wednesday night we're hosting. I won't say co-host. I am a part of an open jam night. It's kind of like if you can sing or play an instrument, show up.
All right, and where should people?
This actually is at Chicago Boys 2, aka CB2, one of my favorite hangouts.
And that's in Fort Myers.
In Fort Myers, on 41, just before Pagefield. And we do open jam night. We sit around and play guitar and we sing and we pretend we're rock stars and
cool.
Have a blast doing it.
What time does that run?
From 8 to whenever, usually around 11. 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. Yeah, around 11. We have to stop around 11 because of the noise ordinance. That's not a word. Noise ordinance.
Ordinance.
We get in trouble. Bottom line, we get in trouble if we go any later than that.
Okay. Because you're loud.
We're outside. Yeah.
Oh, you're outside.
Yeah, we do this outside.
Nice.
On the patio.
Yeah, you can't really do that during.
No, it's
the summer.
Fun. I say this in jest, but it is. In all honesty, it is. At CB2, we have a great time. It is there is a plethora of fantastic musicians and artists in Southwest Florida, and we're creating an environment where people can come sit in. It's not karaoke by any stretch of the imagination. But it is a place if you want to play with no judging, no whatever, bring, you know, you don't have to bring, there's, I've given up my instruments many a night, you know, to let somebody play and to sing. And it's fun. It gives, it's kind of an alternative to an open mic type thing where you're out there by yourself,
right?
You know, performing. It's fun to sit in and to, with a group of fantastic musicians that we play with that, that I respect immensely. And it's fun to sit in with them and learn and to pick up different techniques and different songs and different things. It is an incredible amount of fun. And, we're starting to get bigger and bigger crowds every week. So it's something, I look forward to every Wednesdays.
That's cool. And on Thursday nights, as usual, again, if you're in the Fort Myers area, come on down to Fancy Southern Cafe from 7 to 9 p.m. for the Geeks Who Drink pub quiz.
So we're not coming back until your friends don't show back up again.
That was just like a one-time thing. They might be going once a month or so.
Yeah, you need to let me know when they're not coming, and then we might show up.
Okay, so they're not coming this week, so.
Sweet, we may be there.
All right, Geeks Who Drink pub quiz.
I don't mind getting beat. I just don't want to be last. I don't want to It's something, I don't mind losing.
But you don't want to get.
I don't want to get my ass handed to me.
Understandable. But yeah, it's free to play and you can win food and other prizes. So come out and see me on Thursday nights or come see Phil on Wednesday nights.
Florida man. Florida man. Might be crazy, might be stupid. He's a Florida man.
All right, our guest today is Mike Barron. Mike is an author and has written for Marvel, DC, and Dark Horse Comics, creating stories for franchises such as Star Wars, The Punisher, The Flash, and Batman, as well as creating his own series like Nexus and Badger. Since then, he has written and published just about 12 novels, including his most recent, titled Florida Man. Please welcome to Florida Man, Mike Barron.
Thank you.
Thanks for sending us a copy of this book. I'm only a few chapters in right now, but already the protagonist has been shot at in a road rage incident, used an alligator to threaten people in a store, and gotten into compromising situations trying to come up with money to bail his ex out of jail for something she did at a Waffle House. My question is, should you be sending us a royalty check or should we send one to you?
Well, I mean, I've been to Florida numerous times. And I feel that I can absorb the vibe of Florida from here, my lofty perch in the Rocky Mountains. But like I say, I don't choose my stories. My stories choose me. And I just kept reading about this guy, and the stories were so outlandish that it caused me to conjure up a character who personified much of that story.
Yeah,
it
immediately leaping into the story, you get the Florida Man vibe. So you seriously have the finger on the pulse of Florida Man. Did you spend a lot of time here in Florida, or is it just mostly that you have a Google alert like we do?
Yeah, a lot of time over the years. No, my grandparents lived in.
Where did you? Where were you at when you came down? Which part of Florida?
I would say the first time. Miami Beach. Miami Beach. My grandparents lived there.
Okay. Any other spots in the state, or was it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when I was a little kid, I can hardly remember.
Oh, cool.
All I remember is a big fancy hotel and a swimming pool and the beach. But in later years, I had some friends down there, and I would visit. We'd go to the Everglades. Been in and out of the Everglades various times. I have another friend who lives up near Hollywood, and I've visited him from time to time. And I've been up to Pensacola twice, but I understand that true Floridians don't consider that true Florida.
That's Southern Alabama. That's not Florida.
Yeah, I knew it.
But Florida man does hang out a lot in the Pensacola.
We do get
area.
Some good stories out of there. I have a question for you. One thing that I'm a musician, and you said something that intrigued me when you first started. You said I don't pick the stories pick me. As a musician, I feel the same way about musical instruments. And when I go in and I pick up an instrument off the rack or something, and I play guitar. I don't believe that I don't pick guitars. Guitars pick me. And it's how would you relate, you know, that type of when you say a story picks you, what's the process of when that emotion hits you of being able to sit down at a computer or a pencil and paper and actually put that down? What happens?
Now, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Have you seen the same guitar more than once?
Absolutely.
Are these the guitars that you want? You see them over and over again?
There's guitars that I want. There's guitars that I have pulled off the rack and go, first time I may play it, it's like, maybe. And I may go back another day and go, no, I got to have it. It's mine. It's something. And as someone, as a musician, when you pick up something, when you pick up an instrument, you know immediately whether or not you're meant to be with that instrument or not. And I believe there is a connection between that instrument and a person. Of there's things that other people love, and there's people in that I can listen to them play. And they can play a song off of it, or they can play the guitar, and I can pick it up, and it sounds like ass. I mean, it does. It's not even close. It's not even the same thing, because the guitar is not comfortable. It doesn't resonate with me. So, as a writer, do you have the same type of connection with a story that I have with an instrument?
When I said it chose me, it's because I'm on the internet a lot more than I should be. And these Florida man stories burble up regularly. You really can't avoid them. They're on all the major news sites. Plus, there's a site called floridaman.com, which lists them all. And there are literally thousands. And there's the Florida Man Challenge, which is you put in your date of birth and Florida Man, and it will come up with a story that occurred on that date, often multiple stories. I just the words themselves have a certain iconic power. Florida man. We all know what that means now. You know, we all have an instant image in our head of who that guy is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting across the table from him.
Oh, shut up.
And I had that image, and it was so fully fleshed out that I decided to turn it into a comic book, and that's where the novel came from. I wrote 5 scripts for the comic, which we planned to do. And when I finished the 5 scripts, I realized I had a very detailed outline for a novel. So I went to work and just blew through it. I kept thinking up things as I was going through it, because it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. You will laugh.
It makes – actually, there's a huge – I mean, and I think from a creative standpoint, there's a huge correlation between what writing a novel and writing music. It is that once you find the subject, again, just like as you find the subject that you can latch onto that interests you – and are that you know will interest the public. The same goes as if you're a musician, as you pick up the guitar, and all of a sudden if you've never written or never played guitar or music, it's like the song writes itself sometimes, and it's the music comes out of the guitar, even though it's in your fingers. It's each different guitar can have a different song to it. I can play some songs on one guitar, and it's not near about the same feeling or emotion that I'm trying to convey as another one. And it's the same thing with writing, it sounds like.
Well, it depends on the subject matter.
That's what I was, depending on the subject, right.
My goal, as always, is to grab the reader by the throat and drag him into the narrative to the exclusion of all else. And I have 3 rules as a writer. Number one is, it's my job to entertain, and that must be foremost in my mind.
Absolutely,
number
yeah.
two is to show, don't tell, which is very important. It seems obvious, but it's hard to learn. And 3 is to be original.
And all three of those things are the same thing that a musician does, aims for, to entertain, show, not tell. And it is the same. It's very interesting that the way you approach a particular novel or a subject is many of the same ways that I approach myself as a musician to writing a song or to creating art.
Indeed. I often compare my fiction to a good pop song in this sense, that it has to have dynamics. If the situation is static, the reader doesn't want to turn the page. And the essential question in all fiction is, what happens next? And you've got to compel the reader to turn the page. He's got to know. He's got to know. He can't stop. Can't eat, Mom. Can't come. Still reading this book. You do that with dynamics.
Absolutely.
Like in a song.
It's absolutely the same
tonic,
as a song.
And then you have the chorus. And then you have the hook. You know, you have at least three chords. It's not all sung in one or two chords.
And it's never done in the same. You're absolutely right. And it's that you build the emotion, you build the tempo, you build the expectation, you deliver it in the bridge, you deliver it in the chorus, and then you back it off at the end. So it's the same process. To me, that's fascinating.
Dynamics.
It's dynamics. It's exactly the same in writing as it is in music.
They say that all good entertainment, at least the type of entertainment that we do, is tension and release. And I believe that's true, tension and release. And so in the book, Gary's up, Gary's down, Gary's up, Gary's down. He has ways to make money that would not occur to the normal person, but you'll get there and you'll laugh. But his situation is never static. It's in question right up to the end.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm only a few chapters in, but already it's an amazing story. You mentioned that you started out with this story as the story for a comic book or a series of comic books. Is that something we're going to see in the future?
Yes.
Great, because the first thing that caught my eye was the cover art for this book. And
that's my comic book artist. He did that originally for the cover. The comic. Now I have to come up with a new cover for the comic.
Well, it's perfect.
But my publisher loved it so much that he bought it from. That's Todd Mulrooney.
Yeah, it's great, great artwork and great credit to Todd for that. I know you started your writing career writing comics and graphic novels. How did you get started doing that?
Well, actually, right after I graduated from college, I moved to Boston. My first job out of college was smoking dope for the government.
How do you get that job?
You respond to an ad in a weekly newspaper.
Oh, Jesus, I knew I should have read newspapers more often.
So I lived on a hospital ward for a month with 11 other freaks, and every day we smoked government dope and took a lot of tests. It was just like college.
See, Phil, that's where you would have.
This is where I failed miserably.
Because you would have had to take.
Jesus Christ! How did I not find that? Was this in the in the 70s or 80s?
70s.
See, I went to school in the 80s. I how did I never find this ad?
The times had passed you by then. When I got out, I wrote that up, and that's how I broke into journalism. I worked for newspapers for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then I met Steve Rude, and that's how I broke into comics.
Okay, and Nexus was your first comic, is that correct?
Yes.
Was that the first comic that you tried to write, or is it just one that got promoted or produced?
We had a 32-page story before that, which was kind of half-assed, in which a guy goes door to door in a future ghetto trying to sell encyclopedias. It was lame, but Pacific published it because it had great art. But, you know, I failed to envision the internet or anything. This guy's going door to door trying to sell 24 hard case books.
Obviously, you worked independently on that original run of Nexus. But how did you move from that to working for bigger publishers like you work for Dark Horse, DC and Marvel? How did you get in with them?
Well, Dark Horse has always loved Nexus, and they're publishing a new set in March. But as for Marvel and DC, they called me. They saw the Nexus. Mike Gold was my editor at first, and he moved to DC, and he brought me on board to write The Flash.
Oh, that's cool. So how it sounds like they were familiar with your work. I wouldn't think they'd let just anyone write for their bigger franchises like Batman or The Flash.
Well, they obviously will.
Did we check the resume of this man? Or come on, Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, my friend. Next time you get your butt down to Florida, you need to get closer to Fort Myers or the East Coast somewhere, because we need to sit down and have a cold beer.
Well, I would love to meet you for a cold beer. Fort Myers, isn't that the West Coast?
It's on the West Coast, southwest coast of Florida, yes. If you get close by, please. I'd love to. I love speaking to, you know, somebody as far as comparing music to writing or to artistry and how you create your process is fascinating. Any artist process to how they create art is fascinating to me. And something that I spend any musician I meet, any artist I meet, any writer, I love to speak about where does the inspiration come from? Where does the content come from? What's your process? You know, does it all come at once? Do you stop and start? It's extremely fascinating to me.
I have a legal pad, and I start making notes in the legal pad. And if I have an idea, I write down the idea.
It's the same way with music. I have a pad by the bed, and I keep my phone. It can be a one word, it can be two words, it can be a thought, it can be. This is as far as a, you know, just anything is something to write it down real quick before you forget it. And all of a sudden that one thing can turn into a song or to sit down and writing, and it can go, it can be a 10-minute process. It can be a 10-day, it can be a 10-month process. It depends on it. Sometimes it just all just bleh, it just all falls out and it's right there. And sometimes it takes work.
It takes me a number of months.
You said a number of months to be able to.
Yes. Yes, as I say, I start writing things down in a legal pad, anything and everything to do with the idea. And then there's a basic plot idea,
right?
A Mexican narco gangster kept his own zoo. And one day his people rose up against him and massacred everyone and turned all the animals loose into the forest. And now nobody goes near that place because they're afraid of things like Komodo dragons and tigers. That's an unusually detailed idea.
Right.
But you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly where you're going.
When I have enough, then I start to work up an outline, a detailed outline. And when I say detailed, it's seldom over 7 or 8 pages, which is nothing compared to some authors who write 100-page outlines. But it's not just for me. The outline has to be fun to read. It has to excite people. And so that if I ask somebody to read the outline and they do, they're going to say, holy shit, where's the finished product? Then once I have the outline, then I start. And I know how to tell a story. So I have the dynamics marked out in my mind, the beginning of the adventure, what happens next. And it's half in the outline and half of it comes to life completely out of the work itself, you know, unanticipated.
Right. So at what point do you decide whether it's going to be a comic or like a longer graphic novel or even a novel?
Oh, that's before I start. I know what it's going to be. But as I said, Florida Man morphed into a novel. It's now possible that a badger script I wrote is going to morph into a novel.
So of all the stories that you search the internet, and it's kind of hard to miss the Florida Man. So do you have any stories of particular stories that really got you to like, okay, you can't get any crazier than this?
Well, they're all memorable, but these two stick in my mind. Florida Man arrested for defecating on traffic from light pole. And Florida Man claims drugs found in anus are not his.
Yep. We did them both.
We did both those stories.
We have a running joke of tally sheet of the most things that can be shoved up someone's ass. So I forget what our record is of how many hypodermic needles can go up someone's vagina or up their ass. It is a never-ending content. I agree with you, my friend.
Mike, if our listeners want to check out Florida Man, your novel, they can find it on Amazon, and we're going to put a link in the show notes for episode 95 of Florida Men, and you can find that in your podcast app or on floridamenpodcast.com. And if they want to check out some of your other work, where can they go?
Well, I just go to Amazon, type in Mike Barron, and a whole bunch of my stuff will come up. Where else? geez, that's about it. It's all on Amazon.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. This has been a joy. I if you do get down into Southwest Florida, we would, I personally would love to sit down and talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us today, Mike Barron.
Thank you, Joel.
Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you later. And getting into our stories for the week. Story number one, Florida woman arrested after telling an officer about her, quote, felony purse. This is from the smoking gun, which I get a lot of stories from smoking
gun.
Yes,
you do. That's anytime Phil sends me a story, it's usually from the smoking gun.
My expertise of research is fairly limited, meaning I don't go to a lot of websites to find stories. All right, here we go. During a traffic stop early Sunday, Jacqueline Hubbard,
like old mother Hubbard.
Hubbard did not hesitate to answer when a Florida cop asked her, quote, if she had any drugs on her person.
Now, if she was smart, the immediate answer to that is no.
However, the 59-year-old Hubbard, who was in the front passenger seat, not wearing a seatbelt, reportedly told a patrolman that she was in possession of crack cocaine that was stored in what she called her felony purse.
Is that her hoo-ha?
No, I'm thinking it was a real purse.
Okay.
The purse, which was around Hubbard's neck.
That'd be uncomfortable if her hoo-ha was around her neck.
Yeah. That's, I watched a video of that one time, but I'm not going to get into that. Well, the purse, which was around Hubbard's neck, contained two crack rocks, a small bag of cocaine, two glass crack pipes, according to the arrest affidavits.
I think you've had a hoo-ha around your neck before, unless you were a C-section baby.
I was. Thank you very much, Joel.
Oh, okay. Then you haven't. That's the difference between you and me, Phil.
The contents of the felony purse resulted in Hubbard's bust on two criminal charges of possession of drug paraphernalia, which is a misdemeanor, and possession of a controlled substance, which is a felony. Hubbard is locked up in the county jail in lieu of a $2,150 bond. Court filings do not indicate whether her felony purse or just its contents was seized as evidence. Now, if you're going to be, if the cop comes up and says, hey, you got anything in here I need to know about?
Nope.
Never, ever, ever admit it.
And never consent to a search.
No.
You got a warrant?
Yeah.
That's.
You got probable cause? No. All right. Anything in that person need to know about?
Am I being detained?
Yeah.
No. All
anything
right.
Anything in that person need to know about? Yes, sir, officer. I got two rocks of crack cocaine, a pipe, and a something else.
Two pipes.
Two pipes and a dildo.
And
I don't know
and
what.
A baggie of Coke.
Baggie of Coke. Hubbard's rap sheet includes convictions for disorderly conduct, disorderly intoxication, drunk driving, theft, boating under the influence, infamous BUI.
That is a Florida.
That is. Trespass, cocaine possession, and violating probation.
She likes the nose candy, doesn't she?
She served about 14 months in state prison on the felony cocaine count.
Jackal.
Never, ever, ever.
She's pushing 60 and she's still on the snow there and the crack.
That's, I am not judging, Joel. I'm not in that position.
All right. Well, moving
on. I'm pushing 55 and I'm pounding Tito's like it's going out of style. All right.
Yeah, but Tito's won't fuck you up like crack will.
Obviously you don't drink as much as I do.
Well, I don't smoke crack at all either. So. Story number two, Florida woman made over 350 Instagram accounts to threaten and harass her former colleagues. This one's from mysuncoast.com. A Florida woman will spend more than 4 years in federal prison for cyberstalking, harassing, and threatening six of her former colleagues.
Cyberstalking.
I guess that's a official law now. Between August 2016 and July 2018, that's two fucking years, Tammy Marie Steffen of Holiday, Florida, created at least 369 Instagram accounts. That's one every other day.
Yep. That's good math right there, Joel.
That's because I'm not drinking Tito's. And 18 email accounts to plague her former colleagues with emails and messages, as well as using several phones' numbers to send text messages and make phone calls. The 37-year-old woman even used voice-disguising software to mask her identity when she repeatedly called the victims at their homes and businesses.
Damn. Why? What was the content of the? I mean, why is she so vindictive?
I don't know, but it doesn't say. But it's she don't give up. That's a tenacious woman.
Tenacious. That was the word I was trying to. No, it wasn't. I was thinking. I had something like not tenacious, something a little more simple, like crazy.
Right. Well, this is Florida woman, woo. So that's par for the course.
Bitch is crazy.
Some messages Stefan sent included threats like she is going to, quote, slice the victim up into little pieces, unquote, telling another victim that, quote, all hell is going to rain fire down on your world like never seen before, unquote. She's prolific.
Now, back to the slice her up in little pieces. Was she going to eat them? Are we going Hannibal Lecter here? Are
didn't
we,
say.
Like Chianti?
Did I ever tell you? Did I ever tell you?
I did
you
it wrong. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't want to see you do it right. So
that's what I'm trying to do. I can't do it, though.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Did I ever tell you about my roommate when I was a freshman
college?
Oh,
here
college?
We go. Yes, you've told me a lot about your roommate in freshman college.
His name was Ron. I'm not going to give you his last name, but Ron. Ron was about 90 pounds soaking wet. He was, probably about.
My roommate in college was Ron as well. Yeah. Ron cost me a lot of money.
Did he?
Yeah.
Why did Ron cost you a lot of money?
Because Ron is a very, very close friend. Mm-hmm. Still stay in contact today. But Ron is a retired police officer.
Uh-oh.
From the great state of Alabama and the city of Daphne, Alabama.
I think you've talked about him before on the show.
That's correct. Ron is now, after his retirement of serving the public of 25 years, works in a pawn shop. About once every couple months,
Ron sends you a picture of a guitar.
He sends me a picture of a guitar. So, lucky for me, I have a 1997 Les Paul double cutaway solid black gloss in the mail coming my way.
Very nice. I'm not even.
He cost me a fortune.
I was going to say that's
some good finds, though.
Yeah.
1997 Gibson Les Paul double cutaway. They only made it from 97 to 99.
Very nice. Well, the Ron that I happen to be roommates with, like I said, 90 pounds soaking wet, 5'3", 5'4" around there. Ron was a botany major.
Okay. You know what? So was the dude from Martian.
Yes.
And Matt Damon was a botanist.
Yes.
Well, and if he weren't for being a botanist, he would have died on Mars.
Yep.
In the movie Martian, which we've watched about a dozen times. Love that movie.
I haven't watched the movie yet. I read the
book. Oh, you haven't?
I read the book. So
great movie.
Yeah.
Well, I will say great. Good movie. Entertaining.
The thing about Ron, my roommate, Ron didn't get up in the morning to go to his classes. This was just the fall semester of my freshman year. Ron was also a freshman. So Ron didn't make it to the spring semester, thank God, because he was not exactly the greatest roommate. But Ron, as a botany major, had lots of plants in our room.
Any weed?
No weed. Just random, like, houseplant type things.
Maybe aloe?
And
aloe vera?
There might have been an aloe plant.
That's good. My grandmother had aloe vera. Every time we got a burn or a sting, Grandma would put aloe vera on it. She'd break the little stem off and squeeze it out and make it better.
Did your grandma talk to the aloe vera plant?
No, but I do believe that the talking to plants is a form of
mental illness.
No, there is scientific proof that talking to plants does make them grow more efficiently.
Efficiently. That's what you're going to go with.
I can't pull the word. Four fucking glasses of Tito's.
Jeez,
fucking hammer jolts. So no,
well, Ron talked to every single one of his plants, had names for all of them.
I don't find anything strange with that.
That was the least strange thing about Ron.
So anyways, what does this got to do with the story?
What this has to do with the story is one night Ron told our other roommate, Dirk. Dirk. Yes.
Dirk
looked like a Viking. Still does. But
looks like a Viking.
Yes. He's over 6 feet.
A manly
feet.
Man.
He is
a manly
big,
man.
Burly, so manly
big
man.
Big burly man.
Red hair. At the time, he had mutton chop sideburns. Manly man. But
did you have sex with him?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you want to have sex with him?
No, I did not. Ron threatened
did
to
have a big cock.
That I don't know. I never got that. Jesus Christ.
Come on, Joel. Are you harboring some sexual frustration?
I'm harboring
against
some,
the Viking. Is that what this is about?
I'm harboring some frustration against you right now.
Like,
Anyway, back to my story. Ron threatened to.
I'm gonna pull my Dr. Phil mode out here. I'm sensing a little bit of sexual tension about you and your what's his name?
If you can remember it,
Dirk. So you and Dirk? It appears as though that you've got this jealousy thing about Dirk and his manlyhood. What does that got to do with the story, Joel?
Because Ron threatened to chop Dirk up in little pieces and throw him into the elevator. Dirk was about three times Ron's size.
I put my money on Dirk. So
yeah.
Yeah. And you were witness to all of this.
I was.
And you found Dirk very manly about that, didn't you?
No, I just found Ron extremely creepy from that point on.
Okay. I mean, it's okay to express your, you know, if you've got issues around other men of their manliness, Joel, it's okay to express that.
No, I'm quite content in my manhood. So Rob said that he was going to cut Dirk into little pieces and throw him in the elevator.
Fantastic. You can pick your roommate, Joel.
No, I was given that roommate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because all right. That's a whole other story.
All right, we're going to move on from this one after understanding Joel's sexuality. Story number three, which is Trace for our Spanish-speaking friends. Homeless Florida man, smashes 20 cars at beachfront hotel. Says Trump owes him $1 trillion.
How did he come up with that figure? That seems like a round figure. I'm going to need an itemization.
All right, so let's get into the story. This came to us from the Orlando Sentinel. A homeless man used rocks and a belt buckle to smash up at least 20 cars at a Gulffront hotel in the Panhandle, deputy said Tuesday.
The belt buckle. That's
Justin. Yeah. Justin James Wilson, age 30, caused about $30,000 in damage to the vehicles parked in a Holiday Inn resort in Fort Walton Beach on Monday morning, the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office said.
What was his name again? The perpetrator here?
Justin James Wilson.
I gave you an easy one this time.
You hear that map from Washington State? I got that shit right, biatch. Wilson was charged with 14 counts of felony criminal mischief and 6 counts of misdemeanor criminal mischief. He was found passed out on a nearby bench after the vandalism spree, deputy said.
So 14 felonies and 6 misdemeanors.
That's 14 plus 6 is 20. Carry the 1, that's 20.
Yeah, so 20 cars. So is it just for every car he gets a different felony count?
Well, maybe he didn't do as much damage to the other ones.
Well, that's what I'm saying is but they count instead of counting it as just one big rampage and one count.
It was each individual car.
Yeah. They get you for each individual car.
Oh, yeah. Take me to jail, deputy said as he told them when he woke up. So he was messed up. I did it because Donald Trump owes me $1 trillion and these vehicles belong to the mafia.
All right. Well, if that was true, I'm going to ignore the $1 trillion from Donald Trump and go with the second part. Is
belongs to the mafia. So the last thing you want to do with the mob is smash up their cars.
Yeah, exactly. If they really were owned by the mafia, you wouldn't be even getting near them,
let alone
smashing them with rocks and a belt buckle.
I am a what's the word I'm looking for? I won't say fan of the, I'm certainly not a fan of the mob, but intrigued, entertained by mob stories.
Okay.
In movies. Yeah, that would never happen.
I got a story I'll tell you off the air.
Now we're going into the Florida man.
Food fight.
Again, we've got another story from The Smoking Gun. This time, Florida woman charged for domestic tomato assault. So a Florida woman who, quote, wanted to eat more than her fair share of tomatoes at the dinner table, unquote, is facing criminal charges.
Criminal.
After allegedly assaulting elderly relatives who thwarted her grubby vegetable gambit. Record show.
That's a lot of adjectives.
I like it. Katie Jade Gates.
What's her name?
Katie.
I thought you had K-T-T-T-T.
Katie Jade.
We're going to call her KJ for short.
Gates is her last name.
Gates.
I'm assuming she's not related to Bill.
Probably not.
Age 19, allegedly became incensed when she.
Is that mean angry?
Yes. When she was denied additional tomatoes during supper on September 12th at her family's home in Callahan, a town 20 miles north of Jacksonville. Gates's grandmother told police that the teenager began to throw a fit because she couldn't have more tomatoes at the dinner table. Stingy old bitch. Let her have tomatoes. She's a grown girl. Gates allegedly threw a water bottle at her grandfather and a pack of cigarettes at a 73-year-old female relative who was struck in the eye by the airborne tobacco.
Damn.
So that's why you should vape instead.
Oh, we're not advocating vape.
When confronted about her behavior by her grandfather, Gates allegedly grabbed a knife and began threatening him with it. Motherfucker, I'll stab you in your fucking face, she said, according to a Nassau County Sheriff's Office report. Gates, witnesses told cops, chased her grandfather with the knife and poked the weapon at his face. During police questioning, Gates reportedly admitted hitting her relative in the face with the cigarette pack. She also acknowledged picking up the knife and approaching her grandfather, but denied attempting to strike him with the knife in her hand during the argument. Gates was arrested and charged with two felonies, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated battery on a victim over the age of 65.
Oh, they got the old man age.
Yep, the old lady age on this case. But she bonded out of jail after posting an $18,000 bond.
That's expensive.
A judge has ordered Gates to have no contact with the victims. She is scheduled for an October 3rd court appearance. All over.
Tomatoes.
Her wanting some more tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
You know, you would think usually the old people in the family want the kids to eat their vegetables. This family.
There's more to the story we're not being told. This is one of those instances where something set this off.
Yeah, this is not about the tomatoes. This is about something else.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with tomatoes.
And the tomatoes were just the last straw. All right, that brings us now to story number 4. Minivan driver led Florida Keys police on a 44-mile chase down the overseas highway. This one's from the Miami Herald. A Virginia man was arrested on the 7-mile bridge after a pursuit that police said began in Key Largo, 44 miles away. The driver finally stopped at mile marker 42 after deputies put down spike strips in 3 spots along the overseas highway. That's pretty bad when you got to do a spike strip on a minivan.
Says the man with a minivan.
I got a Jeep, too. It's my wife's minivan. The Eric Lee Kincaid, age 21, was arrested Saturday on charges of fleeing and eluding, grand theft of a motor vehicle, and driving on a suspended license.
So he stole it?
He stole the minivan.
And has a suspended license.
Has a suspended license and ran from the cops. A passenger, Diana Louise Stokes, age 22, of Virginia, was arrested on a charge of possession of less than 20 grams of marijuana. Stokes had a small dog with her. The dog was taken to a shelter in Marathon. The dog is the victim in this.
So they made it to Marathon halfway.
They made it to, mile marker 42, wherever that is.
It's halfway.
Monroe County dispatchers were alerted at about 3 p.m. to a stolen red Dodge Caravan with Virginia tags traveling south in Key Largo. So they stole it all the way up in Virginia and made it down almost to the Keys, or into the Keys, before they got caught.
Well, wait now, no.
Yeah, it's got Virginia tags. They're from Virginia.
Well, it doesn't mean that they were from... it doesn't mean it started in Virginia.
Do you think they just found a Virginia tag?
Could have been, van, yeah. In Florida.
In Florida and
yeah,
stole it there?
Totally, yeah.
I'm going with Occam's razor. I'm going to go the least...
Whatever.
Least unlikely. Deputy Scott Costa tried to stop the van at mile marker 86. The van did not stop and sped off, said Adam Linhart, spokesman for the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. The pursuit was canceled, though, due to the reckless disregard for safety displayed by the van's driver, later identified as Kincaid, said Linhard. Multiple deputies from the upper, middle, and lower Keys substations, as well as a Key Colony Beach police officer, took part in the incident. Kincaid held a cell phone out his window several times as if he was taking a selfie or live broadcasting the pursuit, Linhard said. No injuries were reported. Kincaid and Stokes were ordered out of the van at gunpoint and taken into custody without further incident. Both were jailed in Marathon. Kincaid was being held Monday on $275,000 bond, while Stokes was being held on a $15,000 bond.
That's a lot of money.
That is.
That's $28,000 to bond out.
Pretty much.
You're going to be there a while. Yeah, you're going to be there a while.
Yep. She might get out. She only needed $1,500.
All right, moving on. Story number 5. A Florida man called Fat Boy threatened to attack a pregnant woman with a sword.
Was it me?
A Florida man, this comes from Miami Herald again, a Florida man who goes by the nickname Fat Boy is behind bars after deputies say he threatened to slice a pregnant woman with a sword.
A lot of slicing people going on.
It is. And a lot of swords.
Was there another sword?
No.
There was a knife.
There was a knife
and then the
blade. How about blade? A lot of blades.
A lot of blades. A lot of blades. Weapons.
Yes.
Yes.
And as a fan of Game of Thrones, was it Valyrian steel sword, or was it a Japanese samurai sword, or was it a Chinese replica?
I'm going to assume it wasn't Valyrian steel because that doesn't actually exist.
It could.
Where's Valyria?
Well, it's in the it's in Westeros.
Yeah, and where's that? Show me that on a map.
I have a map.
Show me that on a map of
a current map
of the world.
The current map of the world.
Yeah.
Well, I have a map of Westeros, but
yeah, so do I in the books that I've got. But yeah,
but it's Valyria where that's where they keep the people with the what's the stone face? What's the disease? Anyway, point being, Valyrian steel is the shit. Okay.
Okay.
Was this a Valyrian steel or not?
I'm going to assume it's one he got in a mall, so probably not.
William Mendenhall, age 43, was arrested Wednesday on charges relating to aggravated assault on a pregnant woman after deputies say an argument about a bicycle turned physical.
Again, probably not about the bicycle.
During the argument, Mendenhall armed himself with a 3-foot metal sword and began slashing a tent that was set up in the side of his home in Newport Richey.
So you got
according to Pasco County Sheriff's Office.
So the tent is set up in the side yard of his house.
Which is common, right? Everybody has a tent on the side of their house.
Not permanent. I mean, when I was a kid.
I was being facetious, Joel.
When I was a kid, we would set up a tent in the backyard and camp out in the middle of summer. But
when the woman tried to stop him, Mendenhall, who police describe as to be, quote, heavy built. So the fat boy is relative in this story. At 6 feet, 290 pounds.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's a big boy. Pushed her and said he was going to hurt her, according to the sheriff's office. He then chased her into his home and threatened to strike her with a sword. Police refused to disclose her relationship with the woman. Deputies say they arrested Mendenhall without incident and are holding him in the Land of the Lakes jail with a bond set at $30,000.
I'm going to assume she knows him.
Yeah, I think so.
Because she ran into his house.
Yeah. All I want to know is if Valyrian steel. That's all I care about this story.
I will answer you, no, it is not Valyrian steel. I can say that with confidence.
Because that's like the holy grail of swords, okay? I'm just saying.
Story number 6. Florida man breaks into a house he used to live in because he felt at home.
So far, I'm hearing nothing out of the ordinary about this story.
This story comes to us from WATE.com. Bob Bischoff and his fiance were sleeping in the bedroom of their home in Seminole, Florida, when she heard noises at the other end of the house. When she went to investigate, she discovered the office door was closed, which is not normal. Bischoff is still shaking his head in disbelief at what they discovered. Quote, then she says, oh my God, Bob, there's somebody in the house. There's somebody in the house. Bischoff said, quote, so I said, oh my God, I get up and go to the other side of the house and the door is closed. And now the bathroom door is closed and somebody's flushing the toilet.
Somebody had to drop a deuce.
Least they flushed. Unlike last week, Pinellas County, Florida deputies identified the man as 25-year-old Dylan Hoyt. He used to live at the home and apparently felt at home there. Bischoff says Hoyt didn't attempt to conceal his identity. After hearing the toilet flush, Bischoff yelled at the man. So I yelled and I says, who's in there? He says, it's Dylan. I said, Dylan, who are you? He said, I used to live here, says Bischoff. I said, you don't live here anymore. Get out of my house. Hoyt ran down the street. Bischoff followed him to make sure he was truly leaving. When he returned to his home, his fiance told him she felt Hoyt would be back and for good reason. He left his wallet, his phone, his keys, his everything, said Bischoff. I said, okay, he's coming back for that. According to the arrest report, Pinellas County, Florida deputies used a canine to track Hoyt down a short distance away from Bischoff's home. He's currently facing a burglary of an occupied dwelling charge. Deputies are holding him in jail on a $10,000 bond.
Damn. Was he drunk?
Didn't say.
Lonely?
Just
sad.
Knew how to get in the house, apparently.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, I will tell you that if anybody who used to live in this house comes in.
2 in the chest, 1 in the head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, folks, that's the show for this week. If you want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast using the links in the show notes.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to Florida Men.
Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Florida Men Pod.
Got a suggestion for a story you'd like us to cover? Send us an email to floridamenpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 567-432-9674. We got this email this week.
We got an email?
Yes.
It says, I missed this.
It's hi, Florida Men. This is Mike from Australia. Please don't try the accent. Oh, I'm going to try the accent.
No, I'm not trying the accent.
No, I'm going to try the accent.
No.
Oh, yeah. He told me not to do it. That means I got to do it.
You can't do Australian accent. Come on.
I live in what could be considered Australia's version of Florida.
Not even close.
The Gold Coast even has a suburb called Miami.
Not even close.
I've been listening to podcast religiously for over a month now.
Stop.
And it is awesome.
Stop. That is hideous. Please stop.
You guys crack me up with every episode. Even my wife, who hates podcasts, will sit and listen to your episodes with me. My wife's name is Tracy, so she gets a kick out of the end of each episode when Phil signs off. She doesn't get offended, though, because she also fucking hates clowns.
Hell yeah, fucking. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm actually a fan of the work of Mr. Puddle's Pity Party, but cannot watch his YouTube videos because she freaks right the fuck out.
As well she should.
Have you ever watched Mr. Puddle's Pity Party?
I have not.
I like him.
Well, good for you, Joel, but I can guarantee you I ain't watching it.
Anyways, just wanted to reach out and say thank you. We signed up for your Patreon because we wanted to be sure you guys can keep up the work or continue drinking Tito's for a very long time. Keep on trucking, boys. You fucking rock. Mike and Trace.
That is fan-freaking-tastic. Australia, Mike. Huh?
Australia. On the other side of the planet.
We need to take a trip. We should do a live podcast from Australia.
I'm down.
How much money we got in the PayPal account?
Not enough to get to...
Damn it.
I don't think even enough to get to Miami at this point.
Damn it.
We need to be Damn a hell it. Of a lot bigger.
The fact, you know, I will tell you, I'll be in total, and no bullshit, all bullshit aside, the fact that we get emails and shit from people across the world is absolutely fucking amazing.
I agree. That's what makes me want to keep doing this show, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as Phil wants to keep doing it with me here.
So we appreciate you, Mike and Tracy. Thank you very much.
Yep.
If you would like to support the show financially, you can drop something in our online tip jar at paypal.me/Florida Man. Or to get early access and extended ad-free episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/Florida Man, or you can send us something from our Amazon wish list. The link is in the show notes, and we are running dangerously low, a.k.a. out, of sunflower seeds and mixed nuts, the peanuts. And cashews.
Yes, you mentioned that last
week. And the beef jerky's gone too.
We'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally. They are at the Jacksonville tier, David. At the Tampa tier, Mike from Australia, who
Woo-hoo!
We just...
That's awesome. Appreciate y'all.
Read his letter. Stephanie, One Foot in the Grave podcast. Kurt, Colin, Roxanne, and Matthew from Washington State.
My, what is Matthew? So Matthew is... What we got to come up with a name for Matthew. Matthew is my, I don't say speech there. He is my arch nemesis of pronunciations. Every time we come up with a word that I can't pronounce now, I feel like I'm disappointing Matt from Washington State.
I think you are making his day because every time you do it, you call out his name.
That's true. But it's not his fault. It's like every time now that I get to something, I feel like I'm disappointing Matt from Washington State. I feel like a failure.
Well, Matthew, send us a note, dude. Let us know if you feel like Phil is failing you. Other Patreons include at the Tallahassee tier, Heather and Josh.
Woohoo!
Paradise After Dark podcast, Erica, Koneth, Nicole, and Matt. At the Daytona tier, we have Katie and Jessica. At the Orlando tier, we have the Space Coasties, Steve and Danielle, and Lata. And at the Miami tier, we have Travis.
My man. He's going to come help me if I talked to him last week, and he's going to come help us in case he's got to find a flight down for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case shit gets real with Tracy.
Okay. I noticed you've still got... The photo sitting up on your desk here.
Yeah,
that,
I had
that Pennywise.
Is. Yeah, Pennywise is still on my desk. We got to find a place to. We did frame it.
Yep.
Well, we didn't. My girlfriend did.
Mm-hmm.
Against my better judgment, but we framed it. We're gonna find a place to put it in here. I think outside would be a great spot. But maybe on the deck or what do we call that patio
in the fire pit.
Fire pit would be fantastic. But no, I'm not. That is the very first fan mail we've received.
Absolutely, yeah. As mail. Not electronic mail.
But real mail.
U.S.
And it's very good penmanship. I will give it that. Very good penmanship.
Well, that's printed on a computer. That's a font called Chiller.
What?
The font that they used for that is called Chiller.
It's not real writing?
It's not handwritten, no.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
That's why all the letters look the same.
I just thought it was good penmanship. Well, that's a little disappointing. All right, this program is provided for information use only. No warranty or professional relationships implied and no refunds will be granted.
Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of the Florida Men podcast and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Don't take medical advice from a podcast. And do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism.
any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and mixed at a house I used to live in because I just felt at home there.
And as always, we'll finish up tonight with the Battle of the Florida Man. Tracy
can kiss my ass.
Florida Man, it might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida Man. He's got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. Some mobile tiny house inside, he's Florida Man. Florida Man, might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida Man. Florida Man, he's a dumbass, but we love him, he's a Florida Man.
I don't mind getting beat, I just don't want to be last.
Hello, Florida men. I'm Danny.
Hello, Florida women. I'm Drew.
And we are the hosts and producers of
Strange Little Worlds,
a bi-weekly podcast where we tell you stories of
real-life spooky things and murder in the strange little worlds that you know as your home.
Look for Strange Little Worlds on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, and any other platforms where you get your podcasts.
Subscribe to us, and we might talk about a spooky story or a murder that happened near your home. We've already covered quite a few stories like
the massacre and later on haunting of the Wickham House.
Joel David Rifkin.
Lake Ronkonkoma.
The Gilgo Beach Killer.
The Old Bermuda Inn.
Andre Rand, also known as the Cropsey Killer.
The Devil's Dwarf.
Elena Kijlicis.
The Axtell Mansion, or the Legend of Melrose Park.
The Murder of Libby Kletsky.
The Most Holy Trinity at St. Mary Church.
Sharabia Thomas and Rashawn Brazell.